it's a great thrill and a great pleasure to be speaking to author of what's going to be one of the books of the year, I reckon, The Legend from Bruce Rock, The Wally Foreman Story. It's been penned by his son, Glenn Foreman, who works for the Whacker and has put this wonderful book together. He joins us now on Sports Drive. Afternoon, Glenn.
Good afternoon. Very, very kind words. So thanks very much. And how are you, Team Double J?
Yeah, we're going very well here
going
in the
well,
studio.
Mate.
It's, as we said, a thrill and a pleasure to speak to you. Let's go right back to the start, Glenn. Obviously, Wally taken far too soon back in 2006, a real hero for a lot of people. I have no shame in saying that he was a massive influence on me growing up. He was one of the first voices I heard on radio as a kid, along with Glenn Mitchell. But when did you decide to pen this book, and how did it come about?
Well, it's again some very kind words, so thank you. But it came about 6 years after Dad had passed away, 5 or 6 years after. I was a journalist at the time, and I'd done a university lecture, and one of the students came up to me after and said, "Look, you don't know me, and I never met your dad, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm doing this course because of your dad. He inspired me." And it was really, they were really nice words, but they also made me realize that at some point there's going to be a generation of either sports enthusiasts or media enthusiasts or just West Australians in general that have never heard the name Wally Foreman. And Dad, I didn't like the thought of that, because I felt that Dad had such a significant impact on this state, you know, beyond what he did in the media. And I made a public comment to that effect, and the editor of the Sunday Times at the time, now the West Australian, Brett McCarthy, sent me a text message and said, "You should write his biography." And so, in my total naivety and ignorance of everything that's involved in a biography, I immediately said, "Yes, sounds like a great idea, I'm going to do it," and I embarked on it. And that's how it all began back in, it would have been 2011.
And Glenn, personally, what was it like from an emotional point of view writing this book for you?
It's a good question. So it's a complicated one, because you sort of, you know, I'd probably need a psychiatrist to unpack it all, to be honest, because at times it was incredibly emotional. You know, I mean, you're talking about, I did probably about 100 interviews, a bit more than 100 interviews for this book, and they probably went for an average of an hour. You know, some of them were going for 3 hours and stuff. Rule of thumb as a journal is you double that time, and that's how long it takes to transcribe. So all of a sudden that's a minimum of 300 hours of talking about, listening to and transcribing a really emotional subject, before I've even begun writing. There were moments during that where, it was incredibly emotional, you know, depending on who the interview was with, whether, you know, they were really close to Dad or whether I was interviewing them just for basic facts. But if they really knew Dad and they were talking from the heart and just pouring out this emotion, sometimes one interview could leave me flattened for a week. You know, I'd be recovering from it emotionally, and I'd just be so drained and feel mentally exhausted. Then other times, you know, I sort of go into this different world where it might be a super emotional subject, and I just didn't have a choice but to try to completely detach myself from it and almost act like a robot, just sitting there tapping things out as I'm listening to it, not, you know, hearing it, not listening to it, if you know what I mean. So it's been a project of massive highs and lows. It's probably going to, I have no doubt that it's had an impact on me. I'll have to work through that, now that the book's finished.
Author of The Legend from Bruce Rock, The Wally Foreman Story. His son Glenn is with us, the late great Wally Foreman. This book will be released on Saturday. We'll tell you a little bit later how you'll be able to get a copy of it. But Glenn, I think I'm right in saying that you actually initially planned on releasing this book 10 years to the day of your father's passing, and you've had a few changes to the book, including the way that you've set it up and structured it, and a beautiful piece that went in the West Australian on Saturday saying that it was penned to your daughter and obviously Wally's granddaughter, and a beautiful way to open what is a very emotional book.
Yeah, correct. So, again, I suppose in my naivety and ignorance of everything involved in a book, look, this was my first book, and I've said to a lot of people that in a lot of ways I'm very thankful that that was the case, because had I known exactly how much time and energy it was going to demand, I'm not sure that mentally I would have been able to get myself up to commit to it. But I also had no idea what was sort of involved, and so I had definitely initially set the goal of releasing it for his 10-year anniversary, kind of simply because it sounded like a nice number more than anything. You know, if someone's been deceased for a while, you're sort of thinking, well, when do I actually release this? You know, does 7 years make a difference compared to 14? Or, you know, so 10 seemed like a nice round number, and then once again reality hit, because in between starting this project and finishing it, I'd already met the girl who would be my wife, but we got married, and then we've had two kids in between there. I've changed jobs, and all of that stuff, especially the kids, impacts deadlines, and unfortunately I missed the 10-year, but I wasn't overly concerned. And then, yeah, you're right, I did change tact, because I initially started writing it just as a normal biography, you know, and, you know, Wally Forman this and Wally Forman that. And it sounded and felt forced for me to write it. And if it's feeling forced as the writer, you know it's sounding clunky and forced for the reader. And it wasn't until my daughter came along that suddenly I was, you know, I had this great sense of clarity in exactly how I wanted to write it. And that was from a son to his daughter teaching her about a granddad that she'll never meet. But one who would have loved her dearly. So, I think, you know, it's important for any girl to know her granddad, and this is my way of introducing her to dad.
And Glenn, you just talked about how many interviews were conducted in order to compose this book. Personally, how much more did you learn about your father, not in terms of not only just his work life, but his personality, that maybe you didn't know, hearing it secondhand from some other people that were close to Wally?
Yeah, an enormous amount. And it was... one of my favourite parts of the process, you know, before I started, I had one of my university lecturers said to me that, you know, the fact that I've lost my dad is terrible, and, you know, she really feels for me, but at the same time, I was about to be presented with this great opportunity where I was going to get to know my dad as a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as an adult, and finally as the parent that I knew him as. And not many people have that opportunity, even if their dads are still around, you know, because it's not because we don't want to, it's just not something we naturally do. And so I had this fantastic opportunity where, you know, I was tracking down his childhood friends from Bruce Rock and learning what he was like as a kid, and then, you know, talking to some of his schoolmates about the high school days and what they got up to, and then finally, you know, the more well known personalities who other people would know were friends with dad, like, you know, the Kim Hughes and Dennis Cometti and people like that, talking to them about dad as an adult and a professional. And so I suddenly got this entire spectrum of a personality that it made me realize just exactly how similar we were without either of us ever saying it when he was alive. You know, like, he he struggled in high school, and he graduated. When he graduated, he didn't have the required marks to even go to university. And I remember when I was in high school, and I was absolutely no good at school. And he would get really frustrated at me, and so I can now look back on that and understand why. It was like he was watching his own son repeat his mistakes. But, you know, he never, the silly bloke never said that to me. It would have been much easier if he had have. But you learn things like that. There was this very funny moment, very surreal moment. When I was in year four, I got in, and I can remember this as vivid as yesterday. I got in trouble at school for singing the dirty version of Old MacDonald Had a Farm. And I won't recite it on here, otherwise you might get in trouble. Yeah. And when I was researching for the book, I interviewed Kim Hughes, and he told me that every Thursday after cricket training, they would go down to the Floreat Hotel because there was a talent night on, and everyone, that all the cricket boys would hop on stage and they would recite the dirty version of Old MacDonald Had a Farm, and it was always led by Wally Foreman. And I just, that made me go, it just made me stop in my tracks and just think, how surreal is that? You know, that's how on earth he did not burst out laughing when suddenly he gets a letter home from the school saying, I've been walking around the playground reciting this song, I don't know. But it was just moments like that that were really special to me, because I learnt something about Dad that I probably still wouldn't have if he was around today.
The old adage, like father, like son, very, very true in that case, Glenn. Now, rightly or wrongly, I'm sure you can appreciate this. You feel like you know people. You hear on the radio someone as prominent in Western Australian media as Wally. You feel like you get to know them as a person, and we were privy to, you know, a large part of his, I guess, personal life as well. He was very open in discussing his own day-to-day's goings on the radio. But I wanted to get it from you as his son. What was the Wally Foreman off-air like compared to the Wally Foreman we heard on-air?
That's actually a complicated question to ask me. I can tell you that the personality on the radio was no different to the personality at home. However, the personality that, like everyone, we all have different personalities for every person in our life. Dad and I've never made any secret, and I've never shied away from the fact that Dad and I, in his, particularly when I was a teenager, we struggled to get on. We fought a lot. We were both as stubborn as each other, and, you know, like the stories I've just told you, that's probably because we were closer to being, we were very, very similar to each other than anything else. And so I suppose the difference in the public persona compared to the one that I experience is, he was a lot happier on air than when he and I were arguing, but that would be obvious. I will forever be grateful that, you know, the last 6 months before he died, he and I started getting on much better. We actually had a proper relationship. The difference, what I've described, I've probably just described 99% of adult teenage relationships. The difference is that Dad and I didn't get the opportunity to fully come out the other side and develop that adult father and son relationship. We were only just beginning to do that after, you know, after our struggles of me trying to find my own identity and him not knowing how to cope with that as a parent. So had we had another 5 years, we probably would have been best mates. At the time when he passed away, like I said, we were getting on, and I'll forever be thankful for that. And our relationship had changed. Prior to that, It was a little bit of civil war every now and then.
Author of The Legend from Bruce Rock, The Wally Foreman Story, Glenn Foreman. His son is with us here on Sports Tribe this afternoon. We're talking about his book that officially releases on Saturday. We'll tell you how you can get your hands on that in just a moment. You mentioned a couple of special moments there, I guess, in putting the book together where you kind of worked out how similar you were in certain areas. Glenn, what was for you the most enjoyable part when it comes to writing this book?
Most enjoyable part, probably probably it'll come on Saturday when it's finally all over. to be honest, I alluded to it earlier, saying I was thankful that this is the first book I've ever written, because I underestimated how much was involved, and it absolutely has eaten up. That's probably not the right phrase. It consumed an enormous amount of time and energy, not just from me, but from my family. So, you know, writing is, especially when you're biography writing, it's not as simple as finding 20 minutes spare in a day, sitting down and using that. If you get on, sometimes you've got writer's block and it takes a while to ease out of that, and then if you get on a roll, you can't just suddenly stop. And when you're talking about 200,000 words, 20 minutes a day doesn't cut it. So my beautiful wife would often, you know, because I was writing this book around my full-time job, so the only times I had to work on it were either at nights or on the weekend, and my beautiful wife would often invent reasons as to why to take both kids out of the house for blocks of 4 to 6 hours a day, just so I could sit in a corner and tap away words on a screen. So, yeah, there was some really rewarding and enjoyable moments, but there were also some hugely challenging parts of this, not just for me, but for my entire support network. I think, and I think Saturday's launch will be a really special moment, and a reward and an opportunity to celebrate with all those people that actually made it possible, because it wasn't just me that put this together. I might have tapped out the words, but they never would have happened if I didn't have the content to put in there, and the people around me supporting me and enabling me to put them together.
Last one from me, Glenn, and it's probably the most emotional question that I'll ask. What do you reckon Wally would have made of this book?
There's one part that I think he would be absolutely happy with, and that's the amount of time and effort and the, I suppose, the rigor and attention to detail that was shown to it. There was absolutely nothing skipped over for this book. You know, I might have written it in first person to my daughter, but that doesn't mean that anything's omitted. This is a full account of his life in as accurate a way as I could possibly portray, and I think he would be very happy with that. But anything beyond that, I guess we'll never know. You know, the fact whether he likes my writing, I don't know. whether he would have been happy with me writing it to Charlotte, I don't know. One thing I do know is that when he was around, there was nothing more important to Dad than family. So I think if we use that understanding and then consider that this book is written to the girl who would have been his first grandchild, I think that would make him very happy. But again, I think we'll never know.
Now, Glenn, just before we let you go, how about you tell our listeners where they can get a hold of the book?
Yeah, sure. Look, theoretically, it's available in any bookstore. You just have to pop to your local and ask if they intend to stock it. But there are a few retailers that have been really supportive, and ones that I know have stock. So that's, you know, Boffin's Books in the city, Dimmick's Garden City, Dimmick's Claremont. There's, you know, some Collins in Cottesloe and Willerton. So there's a few of them around. Oh, Dimmick's in Joondalup and Karrinup and Morley. So there's a few of them around. I've done my best to list them on the website, which is ffpress.com.au, and so you can jump on there and see who definitely has stock. But theoretically, it's available at any bookstore. The challenge for me is the printer, for privacy reasons, doesn't tell me who's ordered it. So I only know the ones that have ordered it directly through me, which is, you know, probably only 10% of the total that have ordered it.
Well, Glenn, I think you can be immensely proud of what you've put together, and I have no doubt that Wally would have been immensely proud of not only this book, but everything you've been able to achieve over the last 10 or 11 years, The Legend from Bruce Rock, The Wally Fullman Story, available in all bookstores from Saturday. Well done on the book, Glenn. A privilege and a pleasure once again to speak to you on the program this afternoon, and best of luck with this book.
No, thanks very much for the kind words again and for the opportunity to have a chat.